A survey by the Information Technology Association of America indicates that more than 500,000 technology workers have lost their jobs since the beginning of last year. That's not factoring in the many thousands more non-technical workers, marketing, sales, or human resources people who have been laid off at technology-related companies. The former dot-com mecca, Silicon Valley, has been hit especially hard. NPR's Chris Arnold reports that some people there are getting creative about finding new lines of work.
When the Internet Economy magazine, the industry standard, closed its doors during the wave of dot-com meltdowns last year, its 30-year-old director of international development, Asaf Tarnopolsky, found himself suddenly unemployed. But rather than join the hordes of former executives who were competing for a handful of underwhelming jobs, Tarnopolsky decided to get into a completely different type of work.
What do we got today? A couple of specials?
Yeah, throwing a Diet Coke for me, too.
Yes, sir.
One Diet and two Zach specials.
These days find this Wharton MBA graduate working a griddle and a cash register on a street corner in San Francisco. A couple of years ago at a wedding, Tarnopolsky was served crepes wrapped around meat and cheese. He says he stuffed himself, they were so good, and he started making them at home. Soon, he was selling them at a local farmer's market on some weekends. So after losing his job at the industry standard, he talked it over with his wife, they found another business partner, and rented this little open-air structure on a downtown sidewalk. And now, rather than wearing a suit and flying around the world for high-power meetings, Tarnopolsky is frying up hot lunches at his new business, the West Coast Crepe King.
My world now is very different. As you can see, I'm wearing a chef's coat and an apron and my batter-stained pants and shoes from the last few days. And we're standing outside in this sort of funky little crepe shack of ours. It's a lot of fun. The ironic thing is that, as my wife points out often, we're using a much wider range of our business school skills in this little enterprise than either one of us did individually in our jobs.
So far, it's working. Tarnopolsky says the business is more than breaking even, and it keeps picking up with more people hearing about the stand and coming by. Tarnopolsky recently opened a second crepe stand location and is serving breakfast and also doing some catering. All of that, he says, makes this a much tougher undertaking than his executive job in the dot-com world.
This is more demanding. This is definitely more demanding. The day just never seems to end, and you know we're serving breakfast at 7 a.m. So we're always here by 6, and invariably we're at Costco or somewhere after we close at night, and printing up all the marketing materials on our home computer and answering the emails.
Tarnopolsky would like to see the Crepe King expand into a big, successful chain someday, but for now, he's got his hands full, seeing if he can turn a real profit just running two crepe stands. And while he's doing that, another change for Tarnopolsky is that rather than meeting with executives in boardrooms, these days he's negotiating with the egg delivery guy and coming to really appreciate small business people.
Absolutely. Those people are the hardest working, most deserving people, and they're really the foundation of American business, I think. I mean, you know, we've met so many people. All of our purveyors are small businesses, you know, small farmers, small dairies, you know, small shops that are working really hard trying to make a buck.
There are many former executives who've immersed themselves in the real world after spending some time in dot-com land. Mark Lazar was the founder and CEO of Time Dance, an internet company that shut down. Lazar says he was getting plenty of work as a consultant after that, but he was itching to do something else. So he and his wife Janet decided to take a break from Silicon Valley. They're volunteering for the next 2 years with a program supporting 300 abandoned or abused kids from the slums around Curitiba, Brazil, where we reached them on a scratchy international call.
You know, at this point, we're about 3 months into the work. I feel like we are really both contributing a lot and getting a lot out of it.
Lazar says part of his motivation had to do with his own kids, who are 8, 12, and 14 years old. He worried they were getting a warped sense of reality because so many of their friends at school seemed to have mega-millionaire Silicon Valley parents.
I remember having a conversation with my children, trying to explain to them why for spring break they didn't get to take a private jet and go to Costa Rica like some of their friends, having to explain that we're going to grandma's in the minivan. You know, seeing their perspective change for the first time they drove through a favela or shantytown where these folks literally squat on a part of land, they don't own the land, they build a makeshift home out of cardboard and leftover remnants of lumber.
The Lazars have enrolled their kids in Brazilian schools, where Mark says they're learning Portuguese and learning to adjust. Of course, most people who've been laid off in the valley are not embarking on some exciting new chapter in their lives.
When there is a job opening, there's literally hundreds of applicants.
Avon McBride is a lawyer who lost her job when the dot-com she worked for went bust. Like so many professionals here who've had to cobble an income together, she's doing several different legal consulting jobs and earning much less than she used to. McBride's a single mom, and she's working 6 days a week while raising her four-year-old daughter and paying for preschool tuition.
I'm working very hard. I'm doing a lot of lower-level stuff that normally I wouldn't take on. Basic HR stuff or basic operational stuff. All that I'm focused on right now is how am I going to pay my tuition next month? How am I going to pay all my property tax?
McBride says she, too, has been tempted to find another line of work. There's a vacant office space she knows about in San Francisco that used to house an internet company, and McBride is exploring the idea of subleasing the space and opening a yoga studio. Chris Arnold, NPR News, San Francisco.